justify me and answer what I am for. But you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known, arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it to the 50th anniversary of the JFK assassination. And you've made it to World Poetry Open Mic. I'm your humble host, J. Todd Underhill. We've got the usual suspects in the studios. To my left, we'll call him Lefty. He is Mr. Michael Amade.
I've never been called Lefty in my life. Yes, that's true. I am the yin. If you are the humble hoet, humble wow, I got to talk
a humble
this
hoet?
Evening.
Yeah, wow.
Okay, let me try that again. If you are the humble poet.
Yes.
You are the yin. I am the yang. I am the most egotistical poet on the planet.
There you go.
And that's why we're here.
And along with Lefty, we've got Shifty. And Shifty is our phantom.
Which we never know where she's going to strike.
I know. Well, I know where she's going to strike. She's going to be haunting Better Climes in about, what, 12 hours, 13
Something
hours?
Something like that, yeah. You are the most egotistical poet on the
entire
planet.
Thank you very much. Thank you
very much. I will award you that.
Well, I don't really need you to award me anything.
All
thank
right,
you very
so
much.
We've got Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and, of course, Clyde in the studio.
Clyde.
Yes.
Clyde, wonderful.
Yes. How many nicknames can one man have?
You don't really want to know.
The nine-thumbed half-squatch. Please welcome JT.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your mother must be very proud of that nickname.
She is.
Okay, good.
She's the one that came up with it. What are you talking about?
Even his mother calls him that.
Yeah, duh. Jeez. I came out Harry. I'm going to leave Harry.
Rough times.
Why didn't you just name you Harry?
Because it wasn't a family name.
All right. That aside, we do need to pay some bills. This hour is being brought to you by At the Beach Tanning Salon. 31 locations in Denver metro area to serve you. Basically, you don't want to go through winter all white and pasty. You don't want to lose your color because the sun's not around Denver.
Trust me, it's not a good thing
to
do.
It's not pretty.
No.
And not everybody's Hawaiian like I am, so they don't keep their tan.
Yeah. I'm white as
What tan?
I'm white as a sheet.
So
that I will
so
have
our
to
ghost.
Agree to.
Phantom. But if you want to tan up, check them out, atbtanning.com. And you can go to kzko.com and enter to win a $30 gift certificate. Also, we're being brought to you by Body Armor Super Drink. Now, it sounds like I've had about two or three of them. There's twice the electrolytes as a leading sports drink, as much potassium as a banana, vitamins A, C, and E, and it's a great new way to drink super. You're going to want to check out all the details on the Body Armor Super Team. LeSean McCoy, Mike Trout, and, of course, world champion running back Ray Rice are all members of that super team, too.
It's pretty cool, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so bills are paid. What we do here?
Bills are paid!
Aside from being dorks is...
Time to party!
We're dorks on the radio, and we have poets that call us and tell us amazing poems.
It's kind of a cool trick. It's kind of like, I always said, one of the coolest deceptions of all time was when the nerds that are, you know, in rock bands convinced everyone they were cool. It's kind of what we get to do here. We get to convince people to call in, really cool people to call in and share their work with us, and we get to hang out and listen to it.
Exactly.
Kind of a fun time.
Speaking of cool people that call up and share their poetry, someone we have as a regular, and regularly kicking off our show, please welcome Ellie.
Hi, J. Todd. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing so much better. This hour of my week is what keeps me going each week.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's exactly how I would feel if I was in charge of the whole thing, too.
I'm not in charge. I'm just merely subservient to the nine-thumbed half-squatch.
I should say in charge of giving us all this wonderful gift of being able to read our poetry. That's the best way to say it.
Oh, yes.
Well, in keeping with the season, I have a poem called The Thanksgiving Fairy.
All right.
Once upon a time, a small child wept, sitting alone and forlorn on her back steps, when out of the corner of her eyes something glimmered, and a small melodic voice said, tell me why you are sad. In childlike wonder, as the tears disappeared, she told the beautiful little fairy her woes. You see, today is Thanksgiving. My mother is all flustered and upset because she has to cook that great big turkey dinner all by herself. My father is yelling at the TV because his team is losing, and my brothers are just always fighting. It's terrible. The fairy said, how about I sit on your shoulder and we go in together for Thanksgiving dinner? Oh, would you please, said the child. So as she sat down, silence filled the room, and utter astonishment was seen on every face. The enchanted fairy danced on the table, spreading fairy dust everywhere. It was just enough magic to make them all smile. The small child then said a prayer. We are all thankful, dear God, for this family and this food. The family joined her in prayer. Sometimes God uses fairies to open our eyes to his gifts and his love, if you believe.
Nice. Ellie, I know since you're the first, I'm going to catch you off guard with this. We're going to do something special tonight. You're going to use our forum to say what you're thankful for. What are you thankful for this year?
Oh, always and foremost, thankful for my family that's well and healthy and prosperous and filled with love. There's not much more that I could ever ask for. I'm just so grateful every day for family, for love, and for God's grace upon us all.
Excellent. I'm thankful for that, too.
That's a very good one.
Yes.
Now, Ellie.
Thanks, Michael.
Hey, Ellie. I have to tell you something. I have to be, and this is me being completely honest on the air. I tried to write a poem Friday.
Uh-huh.
And Saturday and Sunday and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and even today. I was sitting there with half-finished verses, and so I somehow stumbled on writer's block, which I'll get out of, and I'm going to try to have something to put up on Old Poetry and potentially read on the air for our one-year anniversary show, which will be this next week. But I wanted
I know.
To, yeah, it's been crazy. It's a year. That's insane.
I know. It's amazing.
It really
well,
is.
Well, Michael, I know you can do it because you know why? You'll be inspired by the anniversary. That'll inspire you.
I believe so.
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah.
But thank you, Ellie.
Oh, you're welcome. And it'll be, I can't wait to hear it. It'll be beautiful.
I hope it lives up to expectations.
Hi, is the Phantom there?
Hey, Ellie, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you, lovely lady?
I'm doing good, thank you. It's so great to hear from you.
It's good to hear your voice, too. Really is. One of these days, maybe the muse of the fairy queen will come upon your heart and you'll start writing poetry, too.
Yeah, maybe.
You never know.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
She's got the genetics. Our family has it strong in them.
Well, listen, you guys have a great night, and God bless you, each and every one, for all that you do.
Thank
and
you.
I love you all.
We love you too, Ellie, and thank you for calling our show. Please don't ever stop.
I will never stop. Good night.
Good night. If you want to call in like Ellie, give us a call, 303-386-3598.
That's 303-386-3598. We also have some poetry that's been sent in this week through email at worldpoetryopenmic.net.
Yes. Phantom, step up to the microphone. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Ellie. Do you have something that you're particularly thankful for this year?
You can't put me on the spot like that.
Well, no, you knew it was coming.
Well, I will
no
tell
clue.
You, it's
you
not really a surprise.
Meeting Wednesday, you knew it was coming.
It's not exactly a surprise. You are, you know, in a studio on a radio show.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're kind of expected to talk.
I plead the fifth.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, that's the sound of utter disgust.
All right. Michael, do you have something you're thankful for this year?
Nothing at all. Actually, no, I'm thankful for everything. I've actually really been going through and thinking about it. And this year has been a really good year. There's also been some difficult stuff, I think, like all of us have and anybody listening has. But I really kind of, as I was sitting there thinking about it, I've been really thankful for everything, and the good stuff, the bad stuff, and if you can even call it that.
Yeah.
It's all been learning experiences. I've chosen to see it all as something that makes me a bigger, stronger person. And so for that, I'm thankful for all of my time in the last year, even the time I wasted, and even the mistakes that were made. So I'm thankful for everything, but not in a shallow, flippant way.
Okay.
I'm very thankful for everything. What about you?
Well, I'll share mine in a bit, but we do have a caller on the line. Someone else that I'm very thankful for, because he's been with us since week number two. Please welcome from Michigan, he is Dennis.
Hello, J-Todd.
Hey, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. This is a great time to consider all the things to be thankful for. And I might as well start out right there. I am thankful for my family, for my faith, for my friends, and for World Poetry Open Mic.
Thank you. Thank you very much. my ego's going to be so inflated, I'm not going to be able to fit out of the studio.
You might actually look like Michael.
Well, I have a couple of short poems for you tonight, if that's all right.
Of course, brother. Anytime.
The first poem is entitled Holidays. Holidays are a time for families, for renewing cherished bonds, that time and busy schedules have found a way to run aground. Holidays are for children. Put a sparkle in their eye. Let the holiday magic truly come alive. Holidays are for sharing. Let people know you care. Reach out to the lonely. Let them know that you are there. Holidays are a time for peace, goodwill shared by all. A kind word will not be wasted and may often be recalled. Holidays, don't let them pass without making a connection. Share your time, your life, your heart. Joy comes in this selection.
Nice.
My second poem, the title is, What is This Life? What is this life? An extraordinary set of coincidences? A self-propelled lab experiment? A genetic mutation of simple organisms morphing into complex ones? Or just a haphazard explosion in the cosmos that resulted into life as we know it? I think not. Order does not result from disorder. Chaos serves and promotes itself. This life as we know it is not evolving, but rather slowly decaying. Our complexity does not merely suggest design and therefore a creator. Our complexity shouts it. While science explains the origins of life with its fanciful theories, the Bible states authoritatively how life came to be. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything therein. What is this life? It is a gift from God, our Maker. Let us honor and cherish this precious gift and give thanks and credit where it belongs.
Amen, brother.
Thank you very much.
Very well written, and, my friend.
Thank you, and I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday, and I'm looking forward to the milestone anniversary show next week, and I plan to be part of that if I'm able to.
Oh, absolutely. I would love it. And love you know it. What? I thank you for all the support you've given us over the last year. And I look forward to our milestone event too. It's going to be a crazy event, but we're going to love it.
Yes, and I hope it's just the beginning of many, many more years. And God bless you all.
Thank you, Dennis. If you want to call in like Dennis, give us a call, 303-386-3598.
That's 303-386-3598.
We got to go to a break.
Okay. So, all right. It's break time. You're
break
listening
time.
To KZKO, The Vibe, a progressive broadcast
Get
for your
sandwich,
modern life.
Go to the bathroom.
And we are World Poetry break Open time. Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Get great protection for your wireless devices. Go to mytechdefense.com. They will protect, repair, and personalize your smartphones, tablets, laptops, and more. You can choose any design you want, and they will transfer your phone or tablet to reflect that favorite of yours. Contact them at mytechdefense.com or click on the link on kzkoradio.com. Get protected. Tech Defense, protecting MSC every day. Autos, located at 6570 North Federal Boulevard and 5400 North Federal Boulevard in Denver. Contact Gonzalo for all your auto needs. 303-430-1333 or 303-573-1333. You can also look at their website, denverautostore.com.
Before I wake, at least in heaven I can
skate.
Cause right now on earth I can't do jack.
Hey, you remember when this was a show? Remember when this is a show that did poetry?
This is poetry.
You know it is. It is. Remember when this is a show that played dubstep?
Won't be coming out of my mouth, Jack.
When
sorry,
do
I
can't
stand
when do I
stuff.
Get a week again?
I'm sorry?
When do I get a week where I get to choose the music
your
again?
Birthday?
Your birthday. When's your birthday?
September.
Okay, then.
Come on.
But guess what?
Really?
I will be picking dubstep in March.
That's fine.
Yes.
If it's your pick, okay. It's your pick, but it won't be coming out of me.
Are you doing that Elvis song with the dubstep?
You know what, though? You know what? I think that's a really accurate statement.
What?
If you ever hear dubstep, it's not coming out of the half squatch.
That's right. No.
While you're on the microphone, brother, I'm gonna catch you. What are you thankful for this year?
Wow.
Come on, I asked her. It shouldn't have been
yes,
a surprise.
But the
I
thing
asked,
is,
no,
is you
this.
Got asked before.
I know, but I'm saving mine towards last.
What? What?
It's
you can't do that.
Hey, how about this, guys? How about we just think about it? We'll hit it on the next few breaks because no one actually is thinking about what they're thankful about, except for me, apparently.
No, I thought about it all week. I'm just kind of holding it
You're
in.
You're saving it? Okay.
Because I really feel like I'm going to get kind of emotional when I say it.
The dubstep's not going to come out of you?
No, I'm not going to be doing dubstep at all.
All
right, so you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic on KZKO The Vibe, and we have a caller from Writer's Cafe, also from Michigan. Please welcome Chris.
Hello.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Oh, I finally got the sound to cut off so we don't get interrupted too much.
I don't know, that's fine, brother.
Hey, Todd.
I'm doing good. Thank you for calling our show, man.
Well, it's appreciated that you're there. I got a word for Michael. If he wants to get together, say, sometime tomorrow, maybe I can help him over his writer's block.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm.
You got my phone number. You can give me a holler.
Okay.
And if you don't, you can get it from J. Todd. He's got it.
Sounds good.
But I think we can.
Okay, well, it'd be interesting to see.
So let's try to get one going here.
Sounds fair.
Solitaire hangman is a hard game to win. Do you admit the word or change it at whim? And as you nears its end, is losing the sin or the same as a win? Be careful what you wish for. What do I wish for? Really, and why. I do know my whys, understand them, not always, but I do live them. You have to do that. Live your whys, your ways, the untouched wishes, the tastes you can't ever forget. Don't ever assume you know me. Pieces, parts, fragments, all the fractals, every shade that lives within. Worlds you haven't seen, don't know, haven't walked, haven't lived, felt. Places and people here and gone. Were's and aren'ts. Lives and times. The rainbows that ghost the world and haunt within each breath. That even I sometimes don't take. How often I say, I am not you, and go unheard. What does your tear taste like? And when? Mine has just a touch of clove, cinnamon, lavender, leaf of bud rose, hummingbird wing, buttercups and crushed violets, sand fleas, copper, raindrops that wash nothing away, and ever, never more. I shall not assume, and yet it's something most do assume. I have, and you? What part of yesterday have we shared? And tomorrow? The paths we walk today await, and yet will they be shared? Or does the sound remain so loud within that we still can't hear? Simple souls, now that is a paradox. We are simple, while we are simple. And when we aren't, then we're not as simple as we were. We never really were simple. Oh my, but money? I don't need money to be happy. I don't need to buy things or to have things or be impressed by things that money buys. Time to enjoy a starry night, the book to read, when and as you wish. It might contain a beautiful poem, a singular wish, a dream awaiting being dreamed. The one thought you forgot. The only thought you couldn't forget. It buys the ISP that connects you to existence. And somehow existence to you. It brings the means to transport you to the places to be you. As you wish you are, they're not always as you think you are. It buys you the time to think, to view, to wish you see. It pays for nature to remain, though less than mostly pristine. At least to exist for another day, week, month. Another tomorrow yet to come. Eating is a mean habit that knows no end, though sometimes you miss it, and those nights are longer than most can believe. Being wet, cold, afraid, because the dark is not friendly, and the sounds make you cry. Money keeps places as places, and not as mere history. Doesn't buy love. I am. Times, I know I'm an interruption, a pain, an unneeded, unwanted, and very avoidable source of questions, lacking adequate answers. Asking? You ask to be more, and the asking grew, and you listened, so you might become beyond what you knew. who you were isn't who you are. And you never know.
Wow. Right on, brother.
Like I said, Mike, give a holler.
All right.
You'll do the writing. I won't give you the words, but in answering the different things I'll ask, you'll do the writing.
Interesting.
All right.
I'm intrigued. Okay, I'll get the number and I'll be in contact.
I was going to say, Chris, I lost the sheet of paper that I had your number on. I'm going to put you through to JT after this call. If you could give it to him again, we will get it to Mike, and that way he can call you.
Not a problem. Excellent. Catch you then.
Thank you, brother.
Care tonight.
All right, here you go to
Thank
JT.
You.
If you want to call in just like Chris, wait just a few moments. You're going to want to call 303-386-3598.
That's 303-386-3598. However, I want to do a submission we have really quick, because I know the calls keep coming in.
That's fine.
I'm going to fit this in. This is from Tom Hyatt. This is called The Legacy.
Awesome.
So hot. My children stumble on, caked with red dust. For life we fought, just for life. Merciless sun blisters lips. Drought distends bellies, overrun with malaria. Starvation erodes us, consumes us, dismisses us, like a sand dune blown away into nothing. No water, no life. We stalk hope. My family persists on death's gritty mound. Rummaging for life, we find none. With lost hope, we lose our lives. Will not someone help the forsaken? Anyone at all? We will weaken and fall. My children will die at my feet. Vacant eyes imploring me, penetrating my soul. Then my young love, who I love first, I will bury them in red dust alone. A scattered sprinkling of bones, pecked clean, sun-bleached. No traces of us will exist. But we lived, we laughed, we hoped, we dreamt. Just like you, we loved deeply, sweetly, serenely, drawing my last breath as I must. I want the world to know, as we return to dust, we were part of this world. Holy cow, Tom Hyatt.
Yes. Way to bring it, brother. Thank you for that submission,
Tom. That's an incredibly powerful piece, Tom. Thank you so much for submitting.
Excellent.
And that was to worldpoetryopenmic.net, put through the contact form. We have another submission from someone who contributed last week. We're going to be reading as well.
That's awesome.
Maybe in the next segment.
And we've got a new caller on the line. I happen to make friends with her on Writer's Cafe. She writes under the name Angel, but her name is Deborah. Deborah, welcome to the line.
Hi, how are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear yours, too. I thought I'd like to introduce myself tonight, if that's okay.
Of course.
All righty. Well, a few weeks back, I did a piece for a contest that wanted a self-portrait. So I did a little bit that I called Who Am I? And I'd like to read that for you all tonight, if I might.
That'd be great.
Okay. It goes this way. Who am I? Sometimes I wonder. I am a disciple, stumbling along an old rocky path. An angel? No, just a woman, straining just to touch the hem of his garment, longing to be closer, ever closer to him. I am a mother. My children are grown. My nest is empty. But no, I am a grandmother, and I am still needed. I am a great-grandmother. Once again, I sing pretty lullabies as I cuddle soft innocence in my arms. Who am I? I see my reflection looking back at me. My father's hazel eyes that reflect my every mood. Deep emotions will change them from soft brown to green. No secrets will they keep. Hair gone silver now, not as thick and curly as it once was, falling softly around a bemused smile. The woman in the mirror, young for my years, although those laugh lines are showing. Who am I? I am a dreamer. I know the world is a good place, full of wonderful, caring neighbors and friends, but I see the way that it is changing, and I fear for the future, a future I will not see. I am a friend. I am wise in my years. I love to give advice. but I'm also foolish. The child in me refuses to grow up. Although I am growing old, I still believe in the magic of childhood. My little dog, my Raggedy Andy, he is the light of my eyes. He is my joy and my comfort, always by my side, always ready with a tail wag or a snuggle when I need a hug. Who am I? I'm a child. I'm a mother, a lover, a friend. I'm old and wise. I am young and silly. I am a woman full of love with a big warm heart, but full of sadness too. I am a writer. I am a bard, a teller of tales, a singer of songs. I am a poet. Who am I? Sometimes I wonder. And that's it.
Wow. Bringing it strong on your first time.
I am so very glad that you enjoyed that.
And this is your first time doing spoken word art?
This is my very first time speaking, reading out loud. Yes, this is the very first time I've shared my poetry with anybody but a few friends and some folks online.
Oh, that was great. That was a strong performance.
Thank you very much.
You can't stop calling our show.
Well, I've been telling stories to kids ever since I can remember. So I am a bit of a storyteller, and I do enjoy it.
That shows.
But this is my... I'm a little nervous about the show.
It does show. You're very good at the spoken word.
Well, thank you. I've got one more I'd like to do, if that's okay.
Of course. Of course.
Okay. This is called My Plea, and it goes, My Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Let my soul no longer grieve. Thy grace is my relief. Calm the raging sea of doubt. Bid the winds of wrath be still. Cast the wicked spirit out. You can heal me, if you will. Help the seed within me grow into a mighty tree. Your tender, loving care bestow. This, Lord, is my plea. And that's it.
Nice. Again. Wow.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You just have to call us every week now because that is some strong spoken word art.
Well, thank you. I do believe I'm going to make this a regular thing. I think, though, that now I'm going to go and melt down a little bit because I am terrified here.
Oh, don't be terrified. You're just talking to me and Michael and Phantom and about, what, half a million?
No, no, just the four of us. It's just the four of us.
All right. Now, I will say... you know, Deborah, you're going to be able to go on to worldpoetryopenmic.net and hear the podcast of this almost immediately following the show. So you can always listen to it afterwards as well. Okay?
I am very much looking forward to listening to it, yeah.
Great.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you guys for helping me build up my confidence a little bit and for giving me a shot at this.
Absolutely.
Oh, right on.
Right, I'll be listening.
Thank you very much. If you want to call in like Deborah, if you want to call in like Dennis, Chris, Ellie, any of our callers, you're going to want to call 303-386-3598.
That's 303-386-3598.
But I am being told that we are going to a break, so you are going to have to hold over if you call right now.
Exactly. So you're listening to KZKO The Vibe, a progressive broadcast for your modern life, and we are World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Introducing the all-new Slim Ambition 8-Week Total Body Transformation Program. Finally, an answer to losing that fat.
My name is Tammy, and I want to tell you about my total body transformation. Back in January, I started a series of treatments at Slim Ambition. And here I am 7 months later, 47 pounds lighter, 5 inches smaller around the waist, and 60 points lower in cholesterol. When I first walked into Slim Ambition, I was a little skeptical, but I was proven wrong. Mark and his team are great to work with. The staff is super friendly and so helpful. I knew the program was working when I got to go shopping for a whole new wardrobe twice. What I like best about Slim Ambition is that not only did it transform my body, it transformed my confidence, my health, and my life.
Sign up now for the 8-week body transformation. Get the tools you need to finally succeed. 24 treatments, meal plan, unlimited access to cardio equipment. More importantly, support and accountability to help you reach your ultimate goals. Call today to book your free consultation. 566-7307.
Essex Motors, located on 131 South Main Street in Longmont, Colorado, 80501. Contact Mike or Ray at 303-678-0300. EssexMotorsLLC.com.
Dolls, Spin Doctors.
Nice.
Wait, they had more than one song?
You know, as a matter of fact, that whole album is really good.
Is it?
Minus the one hit.
You know, the thing is that one hit, and this is coming from the musician side, it's really actually very catchy, kind of cool. The guitar solo is lame.
Yes.
Lame. And if you know, if the guitarist from the Spin Doctors is listening, I'm not even apologizing. You could have written a better solo.
You could have written a better solo for that one. It's like the Crash Test Dummies album with on it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Every other song on the album kicks
butt,
and then the hit.
You know, I had a girlfriend once who, whenever that song started playing, she literally would turn into just blank face, turn around, and just walk out of the whatever building she was in, and just start walking down the street. It just completely shut her down, and she hated it.
Like a psychotic episode.
I think it was a little bit more dramatic than psychotic, but it was there. Whoa!
Speaking of psychotic episodes, holy cow!
If you're laughing now, imagine what you'll be doing in a few seconds.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Good evening, one and all.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And how are we on this fine and lovely day where it's almost 60 degrees in beautiful New York?
Come on.
Boo.
It's like 17 degrees right now.
But they did have it really bad last week.
They did.
It was really cold.
They also, I hear, had a hurricane not too long ago, so I think we can give it to you.
It is good to hear you all this evening.
It's good to hear you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Egotistical one.
Yes. Yes, sir.
I may need your assistance.
All right.
Did you happen to bring your guitar into the studio this evening?
I did not this evening.
Well, that is poor planning on your part.
It actually is. And come to think of it, maybe I should bring my guitar every single week. Huh?
Every week.
Okay. I'll start doing that, Steve. I apologize.
There's one on the wall, though.
Okay. Then.
No, it's a really bad electric guitar.
Yeah,
it's not going to work.
It's so out of tune.
All right. Last Saturday, I was at an amazing open mic event up here, and there were two featured poets who were absolutely magnificent. There was Benjamin Barker from Salt Lake City. I don't know if you've ever heard any of his work. Mm. If you haven't, look for him. He's got a number of YouTubes. It's Benjamin Barker.
Benjamin Barker, okay.
And then there was Erin Brooke Kirsch, who came from Vancouver, and she was also magnificent. Last year, she won the Canadian National Slam title.
Nice.
They were great, and then they had the open mic. And the piece I'm about to do was inspired by that. There was one young guy who had never done an open mic and got up, and I spoke with him afterwards as he was kind of teary. Not everyone is as nice as you guys are.
Okay.
So this is dedicated to him and to all the people who have got the guts to go up and do an open mic and see how it goes. Mm. And Michael, in about 30 seconds, you'll understand why you will wish you had brought your guitar to cover things up.
Okay.
I see by your notebook that you are a poet. I see that your pen, it has opened a vein. Your words bleed on paper, you offer them freely. You offer your love, your dreams, and your pain. So sing your words proudly and proclaim them loudly. Recite your verses and recite them well. But the crowd does not listen, they're tired and restless. So you slink off the stage and descend into hell. Mm-hmm. Well, blank all the hipsters, those wannabe beatniks. Blank all those posers who are so avant-garde. They don't like your clear, simple verses of beauty. But you, young poet, earn the title of bard.
Yes. Yes.
I promise never to sing on your program ever, ever again.
That wasn't horrible.
You are absolutely welcome to. And in fact, the funny thing about that, Steve, is that I know that song very, very well. In a previous life, I was actually performing in a group that sang Streets of Laredo every single night.
Robert Emmett.
Yes, yes. Every single evening. we performed that song.
Oh, yeah. You were Cowboy Mike, weren't
I was,
you?
I was.
I'm getting a vision of the Blues Brothers doing Rawhide.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
Well, I wouldn't actually see that, you know. I don't look as good in a suit as John Belushi.
You should hear Michael do Patsy Cline, too.
But, Michael, you've got the advantage over Belushi of still being alive.
You know, that is a pretty strong advantage.
Is he?
Unless you're an artist.
He checked his pulse recently.
But very good job, Steve. And actually, you know what? I was listening the whole time. You didn't change pitch. You were in key the entire time. Excellent.
You need to check your ears. All right, folks, so we're
going to hit you with the same thing we've hit everybody else. Is there something you're exceptionally thankful for this year?
Other than World Poetry Open Mic?
Other than, yes.
I'm going to sound sappy, but I'm grateful for all four grandparents getting on the boat and sailing west and giving me the gifts of family, faith, and freedom.
Nice. Very well said. And, you know, we found you that $12 million case. We just have to get the doctor's phone number.
Yes, I do understand that someone in Denver was attacked by a coworker and viciously struck by some sort of food product.
A blue M&M. And it bounced off of his head. It was glorious.
If you ever wonder why,
that constitutes a party admission.
Yes, and I've got it on recording now.
She's laughing.
It was glorious.
She thinks we're not serious here, Steve. He and I have been working behind the scenes. It's justice is about to come to Phantomville.
What's his middle name?
The Phantom doesn't realize that I never joke about lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I've got some college tuitions to pay.
Exactly. This is serious business. And I just don't joke about revenge.
And with that open admission, you can work pro bono now because you know you're going to get paid.
Oh, and it also sounds like there was premeditation in there.
And that's what I heard, too.
Punitive damages.
No one has ever accused the Phantom of meditation.
Folks, let me get off so other people can get on. But thank you, as always, and a very, very happy Thanksgiving to each of you and your families and loved ones. And happy Thanksgiving to the whole family at World Poetry Open Mic, whether it's from here to London to wherever.
To one of the
widespread family.
Yes.
Take care, folks.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye.
If you want to call in like Steve, just give us a call, 303-386-3598.
That's 303-386-3598. I'm going to do another quick contribution we've done for the email here, and then we've got something else special this segment as well. So this is from Janine Restel. I read a piece of her work last week. She has a message that says, "Tonight seems like the perfect night for a poem about hibernation." I agree, totally. "If you can fit it in, I would be delighted. I think I would like to have you all as my ghost readers," which we appreciate here. So she said, "Thanks so much and happy early Thanksgiving to everybody." Janine Restall, this is called Hibernation. "At the shoe store, you slip your sock into the metal sandal to measure yourself heel to toe. In the mirror, all you see are feet, bearers of a hidden weight. Slide your foot into this mud print, heel to this heel. Spread your toes and let your arches drop. File your nails to fine points. Shamble from shadow to oak shadow. Find a tree hollow and scar the bark." That's Hibernation from Janine Restall, sent in to worldpoetryopenmic.net this last week.
Nice.
And if you want to send in your poetry, go to worldpoetryopenmic.net, contact form. It's up to 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, the day of the show.
You're right. It's the standard time. It's not daylight savings anymore.
That's right, yeah.
So if you're in one of those places that don't move, we've probably moved back an hour or forward an hour. I don't know how that works.
Right.
But you can Google us, and you'll find out what time.
Right. Now, we have a special member of our crew.
We do.
We have many. Actually, I think every member of our crew is special, including myself.
Well, you think you're special all the time.
I think I'm special. That's different than actually being special.
Yeah.
One of the people who actually is special in this crew, we call the Haiku Master.
I'm calling you the Haiku Master. Hi-ya!
There can only be one. So every week, the Haiku Master sits down, meditates for 15 hours.
Really?
To write three haiku. These are what he came up with this week. See if you can figure out the theme. Maybe on the air, if you guys can. Phantom, I know that your comprehensive mind is always working and furiously analyzing every phrase. Maybe you have it.
You can go out to our forum or go out to our website at
Facebook
Twitter. Or Twitter and just let us know what you think it is.
Okay, so here we go. This is kind of a tough one.
All right.
It's kind of tough. All right, here we go. Crazy to keep up. Must drive it like you stole it. Become a hazard.
Really?
That's one.
Right.
Number two. Coming on over. Insanity on the road. Signal an option.
Okay.
Okay. And three. I think he's talking about you, J. Todd.
Thanks.
Number three. Trollways and byways. The only ones on the road. Awareness is gone. I think he's talking about you, Phantom, in that
yes.
one. Those are the three.
Haiku.
The three haiku handed down on high.
Haikus.
From the haiku master.
Oh, he's a haiku master. Hi-ya.
There can only be one.
Those? All right, I have to take issue with something you just said.
What's that?
About the turn signals being an option. All right, there's a damn good reason I don't use my turn signal.
What's that?
It ruins the element of surprise. I'm just saying.
You're all about the timing?
I'm all about the timing.
The element of surprise?
Yes.
Fact, oh, my God.
Sometimes, and there will be some people in Denver that get this because they've driven behind me, just to throw a screwball. I'll signal one direction and I'll turn the completely other direction.
Yeah, I've noticed that before.
You've never trailed me.
Yes, anyway. I have.
Yes. I think we all have here. Anyway.
Right. We do poetry here.
Yes, we do. Not just bad driving jokes.
Yes, and not just comedy and not just dork talk, which we do a lot of here.
I don't think we can help that part.
No. I was telling someone earlier this week that really this is sitting around my parents' coffee table back in the day. With just having microphones in front of us, we're not any different.
That's true.
Unfortunately.
What we've been. And now we just get the joy of having amazing poets calling in share to work with it.
That's very true. That's very true. With a little bit of expletive taken out.
Exactly. And one of those amazing poets is on the line right now from Ohio. Please welcome Tate.
Hi, guys. How is everybody tonight?
I'm feeling kind of manic, actually.
We're doing great. I think we had some really strong
I wish I did. That's what I need. Man, do I need that. I was watching some of the JFK stuff. You know, I was 4 years old when he died, but for some reason, I still remember it.
What? Really?
Oh, yeah.
I
saw all the adults cry.
Yeah, my father related a story about the whole JFK assassination, and he was a little bit older than you. He was actually in basic training in the military when he got the word, and he was actually doing the rope climb. And someone yelled up to him, and he literally got rope burned from sliding on a rope to confirm what had gone on.
Yeah. I remember being in school and watching when Martin Luther was killed. And then when Bobby was shot, whoa, man, the whole world fell apart then. Everybody thought it was the end of the world.
Yeah.
It just seemed like everything was over.
See,
of course, then we get Nixon.
Back in those days, Nixon was the end of the world, but we're not going to go into that. Anyway, back in those days, it can be comparable to the 20-somethings or even late teens now remembering where they were in 9/11 happened.
Oh, yeah. But we thought everything was over. We just thought there was no hope. It was sad.
Well, for a time it was, because every person that we got that was a strong leader and a visionary was getting offed, you know?
Yeah. That's for sure.
So,
well, sorry for late tonight.
That was a little deep. Sorry. You're going to share something with us as well?
Yes, I am. Sure. Sure, I'll share one with you. Let's see. I'll read you one. Here, I just picked these at random. This one's called Lessons for Tate. These scars I wear each tell a tale of moments I'll never forget, when love's spark had once left its mark and the fates had called in their debt. Where I fell upon a bottle, cut my arm and nearly bled out, then hit my head and thought I was dead, learned something of what life was about. My legs torn by years of abuse, racing horses like all of my kin. I'd go down hard and leave them scarred while a limestone would tear off your skin. But these were offerings of note in a life spent chasing ideals, testing extremes of my own dreams run down more than once by the wheels. Son, you can't live your life afraid of each danger that comes your way. Just play the odds and tempt the damn gods, rise up and face each newborn day. When you are but old and feeble with your grandchild upon your knee, tell your stories of life's glories and show him the scars so he can see. A life spent cowering from pain will leave you so aching inside for the gift you'd miss from life's kiss, knowing you never even tried.
Bravo, my friend.
Thank you.
Tate, what are you thankful for this year, my friend?
Thankful for?
Yeah.
Gee, that's a thought I haven't had lately. I'm thankful for my wife and all of the people she's added to my life. I'm thankful my parents are still alive.
Yeah. That's a good thing to be thankful for, really.
My neighbors with the kids that I always give all this stuff to, like my kids' toys, their house burned down the other day. I was thankful they didn't get hurt. And, it's going to be a good Christmas. It looks like I'm going to have to go out and cut down a 15-foot tree from my mother's house. We always have a good time.
Well,
we do this every year.
If you find 2 7.5-foot trees, you can just pair them up and have a 15-foot tree.
For 30 years now, we have gone out and cut down a 15-footer every year and drugged that thing in and got all the grandkids together to decorate it. And, of course, my mother carries ornaments from every year. I mean, going back 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
We've got enough ornaments. It's just, we have a blast.
My mother did that, too. She kept every ornament, like, from, like, basically our date of birth on up to when we were 40s. And eventually we ended up getting them all last year when she passed away. But now we've got more than enough ornaments at our house.
Well, it's sad that today has to be commemorated by JFK's loss, and I'm sorry to hear that. I was hoping that wouldn't. Today is also David Louis Paget's birthday. He was 19 on this date 50 years ago.
David's birthday. Happy birthday, yeah. David.
Yeah.
So
let me read you a short one and let you go.
All right.
All right, this is the one I named my third book after, My Immortal Soul. And this is a true story. I had this 90-year-old woman. I used to take her to Thanksgiving dinner, and she was talking to me one day.
That's funny that you're reading the book that that's named after, because I've got the book sitting right next to me, literally.
Well, I think this poem's in it.
Awesome.
I watch my son embark on life, and I wish him all the best. His way will be no easier than it's been for all the rest. The first child's life is the hardest as they blaze their newfound trails. For upon their shoulders rides the weight of siblings' hopes and travails. An old woman once asked of me as she touched upon my fears, "What do you want your son to be when he reaches that old years?" As I thought a while and with a smile said that happy was my goal, for there may be hope for mankind yet in your immortal soul. We might just ask too much of each newly born generation, expecting them to build upon the previous foundation. It's pride that tweaks our vanity, and damn pride our soul believes. Why is it only through this pain that by love our soul relieves? I'll have that old woman to thank when I swim the great expanse, and there I'll make for the distant bank, where fate may grant me that chance.
Nice.
As always, it's nice to hear from you all, and I guess I'll let you go.
Excellent. Thank you, Tate.
Thanks, Tate.
You have a happy Thanksgiving.
You.
All right, if you want to call and like Tate, give us a call, 303-386-3598.
That's 303-386-3598.
Now, I'm being told we do have a break.
We do.
But before we do, I said I'd do my thankfulness later, okay?
Okay.
I'm thankful that I have a wife that has embraced me pursuing every dream my little heart has desired. I'm thankful for my daughter who has accompanied me here to the radio station. I would say this whether she's here or not. I'm thankful for the blessings she has put on my life. And all the growth she has brought to me as a person. I am thankful also, and this is the part where I'm probably going to get a little emotional, that as my family, my blood family disintegrated, that the World Poetry Open Mic family came to fruition at the same time, giving me a whole bunch of new members to learn and to grow from also. I'm very thankful that my sister, who is my blood sister, decided to join in on that family and become one of the hosts. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And this is the more comedic one. I'm thankful the station brass isn't here. It's getting kind of late, and I'm not ready to quit. So if you want to call in, you're going to want to call in right now, 303-386-3598.
But you're going to have to be holding over the break, though.
Correct. You are listening to KZKO The Vibe. We're going to still keep things going in normal format. We're just going to run a little late. That's all. And so we're World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio.
At the Beach Tanning Salon, 31 locations in the Denver metro area. Go to kzkoradio.com to enter to win a $30 gift card to At the Beach, atbtanning.com. Pocket Coupon Directory. Savings on food, fine dining, home, personal needs, and much more. DailyPocketDeals.com. My Mom's Pies, located in Niwot on 201 Murray Street. Give them a call at 303-652-6667 or check out their website, mmpies.com.
Oh, man. I'm loving it. Your music choice on this one's really good.
I couldn't help this one, though.
Creed, right? Yeah, okay. I drew a blank for a moment. I know. So you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic. We do poetry here, amongst many, many other things.
We do poetry.
Yeah.
No, I can't believe that.
I know. Amazing, isn't it? It's right in the name of the show.
No.
So you're gonna want to call in if you have a poem. If you're a new caller, don't be afraid. We had a new caller tonight. Totally accepting of all poetry forms, spoken word art. If you're a longtime caller and haven't called in a while, individuality, you're being called out.
Bob.
Our poet of the month.
I'm calling you out, buddy.
There you go. So give us a call, 303-386-3598.
If you're a caller already called tonight, please feel free. Call back.
Yeah.
Why not? Thankful
for you guys.
Why not?
All right. I am going to share one real quick. This one I wrote back in 2009 about my wife. This is entitled, It Is You That I Desire. I lie awake and ponder thoughts of you, the sweet words you write into my soul, memories causing me to feel blue. Alas, fate hath taken its toll. As the midnight bell chimes loud and clear, I long to be held in your passionate embrace, damning the world and all the feelings I fear, your lines and curves until morning I trace. The perfect fit for this poet's longing arms, you truly are more of a need than want. Hypnotized by your seductive, erotic charms, my mind, your memory seems to haunt. Awaken me with your playful, fervent fire, for it is you, and only you, that I desire.
I like that one, man.
Thank you.
So do you think, should I go for it?
Now's a great time. Okay. Give us a little backstory on this one.
This one is, okay, so... A few people who are friends with me on Facebook might know I have this really weird little guilty pleasure here, okay? And one of them is I love reading the missed connections on Craigslist.
They're kind of funny, aren't
they? It's kind of crazy, but the reason I like reading is like these some when they're good, they're like these tiny little stories that you just get snippets of people's lives, and it's interesting to see the way people connect. So this one I'm going to read, and some of you might have heard it. Steve, I'm wondering maybe if you have. It first appeared in the Misconnection section of Brooklyn, New York in August. And we didn't know who wrote it, but now I think people have just figured out that it was written by a guy named Raphael Bob Wakesburg.
Okay.
I'm going to read this. This was just appeared at first anonymously in Craigslist, Misconnections.
All right.
I saw you on the Manhattan bound. I'm sorry. Let's start again. I saw you on the Manhattan-bound Brooklyn Q train. I was wearing a blue striped T-shirt and a pair of maroon pants. You were wearing a vintage red skirt and a smart white blouse. We both wore glasses. I guess we still do. You got on at Dekalb and sat across from me, and we made eye contact briefly. I fell in love with you a little bit, in that stupid way where you completely make up a fictional version of the person you're looking at and fall in love with that person. But I still think there was something there. Several times we looked at each other and then looked away. I tried to think of something to say to you, maybe pretend I didn't know where I was going and ask you for directions, or say something nice about your boot-shaped earrings, or just say, hot day. It all seemed so stupid. At one point, I caught you staring at me, and then you immediately averted your eyes. You pulled a book out of your bag and started reading it, a biography of Lyndon Johnson, but I noticed you never once turned a page. My stop was Union Square, but at Union Square I decided to stay on, rationalizing that I could easily transfer to the 7 at 42nd Street, but then I didn't get off at 42nd Street either. You must have missed your stop as well, because we got all the way to the end of the line at Ditmars. We both just sat there in the car, waiting. I cocked my head at you inquisitively. You shrugged and held up your book as if that was the reason. Still, I said nothing. We took the train all the way back down through Astoria, across the East River, weaving through Midtown, from Times Square to Herald Square to Union Square, under Soho and Chinatown, up across the bridge back into Brooklyn, past Barclays and Prospect Park, past Flatbush and Midwood and Sheepshead Bay, all the way to Coney Island. And when we got to Coney Island, I knew I had to say something. Still, I said nothing. And so we went back up and down the queue line, over and over. We caught the rush hour crowds, and we saw them thin out again. We watched the sunset over Manhattan as we crossed the East River. I gave myself deadlines. I'll talk to her before Newkirk. I'll talk to her before Canal. But still, I remained silent. For months, we sat on the train, saying nothing to each other. We survived on bags of Skittles sold to us by kids raising money for their basketball teams. We must have heard a million mariachi bands, had our faces nearly kicked in by 100,000 breakdancers. I gave money to the beggars until I ran out of singles. When the train went above ground, I'd get text messages and voicemails. Where are you? What happened? Are you okay? Until my phone ran out of battery. I'll talk to her before daybreak. I'll talk to her before Tuesday. The longer I waited, the harder it got. What could I possibly say to you now? Now that we've passed the same station for the 100th time. Maybe I could go back to the first time the queue switched over to the local R line for the weekend. I could have said, well, this is inconvenient. But I couldn't very well say that now, could I? I would kick myself for days after every time you sneezed. Why hadn't I said, bless you? That tiny gesture could have been enough to pivot us into a conversation. But here, in stupid silence, we still sat. There were nights when we were the only two souls in the car, perhaps on the entire train. I even felt self-conscious about bothering you then. She's reading her book, I thought. She doesn't want to talk to me. Still, there were moments where I felt a connection. Someone would shout something crazy about Jesus, and we'd immediately look at each other and register our reactions. A couple of teenagers would exit, holding hands, and we'd both think, young love. For 60 years, we sat in that car, just barely pretending not to notice each other. I got to know you so well, if only peripherally. I memorized the folds of your body, the contours of your face, the patterns of your breath. I saw you cry once after you'd glance at a neighbor's newspaper. I wondered if you were crying about something specific or just the general passage of time, so unnoticeable and suddenly noticeable. I wanted to comfort you, wrap my arms around you, assure you I knew everything would be fine, but it felt too familiar. I stayed glued to my seat. One day, in the middle of the afternoon, you stood up as the train pulled into the Queensboro Plaza. It was difficult for you, the simple task of standing up. You hadn't done it in 60 years. Holding onto the rails, you managed to get yourself to the door. You hesitated briefly there, perhaps waiting for me to say something, giving me one last chance to stop you. But rather than spit out a lifetime of suppressed, almost conversations, I said nothing, and I watched you slip out between the closing sliding doors. It took me a few stops before I realized you were really gone. I kept waiting for you to re-enter the subway car, sit down next to me, rest your head on my shoulder. Nothing would be said. Nothing would need to be said. When the train returned to Queensboro Plaza, I craned my neck as we entered the station. Perhaps you were there, on the platform, still waiting. Perhaps I would see you smiling and bright, your long gray hair waving in the wind from an oncoming train. But no, you were gone. And I realized most likely I would never see you again. And I thought about how amazing it is that you can know somebody for 60 years, and yet still not really know that person at all. I stayed on the train until it got to Union Square, at which point I got off and transferred to the L.
Wow.
So
that was a good piece.
And that appeared at first anonymously on Misconnections in Brooklyn. This is why I read these things.
It's a guilty pleasure,
and
yes.
It's a guilty pleasure, but sometimes you find beautiful things. So if you want to look that up, actually, it's I think it's actually under On I found it on Gawker.com. It's somebody went and wrote the ultimate Craigslist missed connections ad.
Nice.
But look up the best Craigslist missed connection ad ever, and you'll find it.
Is there any way you can send me a link to that after the show?
Absolutely. Oh, I can do it. In fact, you know what? I'll post a link to it on our Facebook page. Right now, actually.
Every time I go on missed connections on Craigslist, I always find something ridiculously X-rated and disgusting.
I think you're looking in the wrong places.
I'm not. I swear it's missed connections. And
really? I look in the same places and don't see that.
Okay.
All right. So, someone that's never a missed connection, and it's the second time calling tonight, please welcome from Writer's Cafe, Chris.
That was a great piece. Yes.
I know.
No ifs, ands, or buts. I'm still here listening to you guys talk. All right. Okay, let me shut down the volume. There we go.
Thank you. I don't want to sound like Art Bell when I say, please turn down your listening device, but I'm going to have to say, please turn down your listening device.
Well, I'll tell you, if Phantom hadn't said to call back in, I wouldn't have, but I've been listening to the show and enjoying you guys.
Oh, I'm so glad you did.
Streets of Laredo is that's a good song.
It is, isn't it?
I appreciate it immensely.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Well, rather than just reminisce, I want to put together a series that I called The Cafe. You know, everybody likes the old coffee shop cafes where you sit outside and watch the world go by.
Oh, yes.
You find them in just about any city, and this being a college town, the view is interesting, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Being a state capital as well, I mean, you get some real interesting sights going by. So anyway, I put together a stream of conscious writing for The Cafe and called it a series. So this is part of that.
All right.
This particular one is called Hey Old Man. Hey Old Man, how's your coffee holding up? I paused my writing, just more of my scrawling actually, and looked up. Her eyes were crinkle squinched and her lips had that smile. God's gonna get you, I said. Oh man, sheesh. And motioned toward the empty mug. Well, it isn't like you've had your normal five or anything yet, she quipped back as she poured, laughed, and then continued on her customer rounds. I like sidewalk cafes. You can pause a bit, think things over and over again if necessary. Write if you like, watch everything and everyone, and sip coffee. And here, the coffee is actually good. And Mary's cute as hell, too. University towns have that certain feel. So many enthusiastic highs besides the deepest, darkest lows. The ones that the daytime soaps just can't seem to get enough of, let alone get right. Guys and dolls, I mumbled to myself as I watched so many dreams meandering by. Well, back to the scrawling. Time has this way of passing without notice when I write. Focus is seldom an issue, regardless of background noise or events. Yet I sensed eyes looking over my shoulder. Then came the scraping sound of a chair being pulled up to the table. Hi, I said, without thought or pausing, or even looking up, trying to finish that current line before it escaped forever. You know what I mean. Then Mary came up beside me, and you'll have, she asked. Well, the answering voice derailed the train. Black coffee. And bring him another too, please. I looked up and into a place no man should ever wander into without malice or forethought. The absolute greenest eyes gazing back into mine. I could actually breathe, but didn't know if I wanted to. I didn't even notice Mary writing down the ticket, then turn and walk away. I mean, there's pretty and beautiful and striking, And then there was her. I wasn't at a loss for words. There were no words to say or think or interfere. Just the absolute greenest eyes gazing into mine. It took a moment. Damn, I said, and shook my head lightly to break the spell. Such is the gestalt of captured attention. Pardon, she laughed out loud. Even I know a woman realizes the effect she has on a humble target of opportunity. I said, damn, I answered, then chuckled. You have quite a presence. This time she chuckled back. Yeah, neat, isn't it? And she reached and took my journal from the table, flipped the page back, paused, and then began to read aloud. There are so many echoes through our lives, moments beyond count, though so few remembered. Each touch our nows and our being, and we don't even see our present coming because our past shades our eyes, our thoughts, our tastes of existence. She paused, looked into my eyes again, smiled. Then she turned the page and continued. I like the thought of tomorrow, the taste of it on my lips, the smoothness of it in my mind. There's a feel that it has to me, unlike any other thought, any other wish, construct, presence, desire, unlike even the touch of. And she stopped, looked up, seemed about to say something, but then just sat back and waited expectantly. The absolute greenest eyes I'd never seen, I said aloud, without having to look at the page. That was it.
Wow. Brother, thank you again, man.
Yeah, but that's what you do at, you know, cafes. You think and interact with people.
And well, that's what I do. That's what you do. I've seen people just interact with their phones at cafes, too.
But they're interacting with other people on their phones.
There you go.
Oh, well, anyway. But it was an interesting time. It made a real neat series to play with. There's so many places that you visit around the world. So many people that you touch.
You know, I'm learning that as I go. I you're helping me with the project that I'm closing up as far as the J. Todd Underhill On the Road book, and basically every cafe, hotel, whatever I go to, I stop and write a poem, and I like to commemorate that way. Thank you for sharing.
I was a field service engineer once upon a time. I got to stop at a lot of places, just like you.
Nice.
It was interesting.
Well, my last entry, because I'm working on book 2, my last entry was Ogallala, Nebraska last week.
I remember miles and miles.
Yes?
Yes, I remember the Midwest quite well.
Exactly. Chris, thank you for calling our show.
Thank you, guys.
Right on. We'll hear from you next week, right, during our one-year anniversary?
Oh, God, yes. I'm going to have to write one just for you guys. Oh, right. God.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, talk about pressure. Oh,
no, God. No pressure whatsoever.
Yeah, right. Guys.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night, Chris.
If you want to call in like Chris, give us a call, 303-386-3598.
That's 303-386-3598. However, I think we're coming close to the end here.
We're getting close. If someone calls in, we'll hold over.
Now, there is something that you wanted to share, correct?
Correct. My daughter is a senior in high school. She's taking poetry as a class, or in her English class. She's on a poetry module. And I was very honored when she called me and told me that she offered for her teacher to have me come speak about poetics at their class.
I don't think you're qualified.
You know, after writing for 25 years, I hope not. Anyway... But they're learning poetry cycle, and she read this to me in the car on the way home from work today, and I'm like, you know, that could possibly be shared on her show, so I'm going to do it. Poetry cycle is a set of two poems or more that respond to each other. The first one that she showed as an example is a Christopher Marlowe poem. He was alive from 1564 to 1593. And this is his poem, The Passionate Shepherd to His Love. Come live with me, be my love, and we will all the pleasures prove that hills and valleys, dales and fields, or woods or steepy mountain yields. And we will sit upon the rocks and see the shepherds feed their flocks by shallow rivers to whose falls, melodious birds sing madrigals, and I will make thee beds of roses and a thousand fragrant posies, a cap of flowers and a kirtle, embroidered all with leaves of myrtle, a gown made of the finest wool, which from the deep, from our pretty lambs we pull, fair lined slippers for the cold, with buckles of the purest gold, a belt of straw and ivy buds, with coral clasps and amber studs, and if these pleasures may thee move, come live with me and be my love. The shepherd swains shall dance and sing for thy delight each May morning. If these delights thy mind may move, then live with me and be my love. Now, after that was written, Sir Walter Raleigh wrote a reply from the nymph to the shepherd, and this is his version. If all the world and love were young, and truth in every shepherd's tongue, these pretty pleasures might me move to live with thee and be thy love. Time drives the flocks from the field to the fold, when rivers rage and rocks grow cold, and Philomel becometh dumb, the rest complains of cares to come. The flowers do fade in the wanton fields, to wayward winter reckoning yields, a honey tongue, a heart of gall, is fancy's spring, but sorrow's fall. Thy gowns, thy shoes, thy beds of roses, thy cap, thy kirtle, and thy posies, soon break, soon wither, soon forgotten, in folly ripe, in reason rotten. Thy belt of straw and ivy buds, thy coral claps and somber studs, all these in me no means can move to come to thee and be my love. But could youth last and love still breed, had joys no date nor age no need, these delights my mind might move to live with thee and be thy love.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Can I get a hell yeah? Sir Walter Raleigh is the man.
You know who else is the man?
Oh, yeah.
The man is on the phone.
What?
Dennis?
What?
Not Dennis.
Dennis is the man.
I'm back.
Hey, welcome back, brother.
Well, I like these hijack shows.
Yeah, they're becoming frequent. We might just have to extend to 2 hours each week.
you may just have to, and I'm all for that. You got my vote. I have a poem to share, and I think I'll dedicate this one to the Phantom.
All right.
The title is In Dreams. In dreams, the acorn can become the mighty oak. The caterpillar can be the floating butterfly. The pony can be the mighty stallion. The child can be the parent. The senior citizen can be a child once again. Yes, in dreams, one can go to any place in time and space and not be restricted by the normal barriers experienced in the conscious world, the imagination being the only limit. I dream of a world in harmony where people respect people and everyone is accepted, no exclusions. I dream of meeting famous people like Jesus, Gandhi, William Shakespeare, and talking to them in private, in a private garden where there are no clocks, cell phones, or other distractions. I dream of eternity and sharing it with you in dreams.
Well done.
Thank you.
Oh, Dennis, thank you so much for calling back.
Well, my pleasure. You guys light up my my Fridays, and you are a blessing to me. And I hope to be a bit of a blessing to you, too.
You definitely are, sir.
May God continue to bless you all.
Hey, and same to you, Dennis. Thank you so much. And thanks for being a member of our family.
Yes. Thank you for being our poetic brother. Half a continent away or half a country away, but checking in with us every night, every Friday night at least.
I will when I can.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So it's been a good night so far.
It's been a great night.
All right. So
we're still taking callers.
We are 303-386-3598.
That's 303-386-3598.
We're hijacking you. We're going to keep you here all day long.
And he just threw in the towel. No, I'm just joking.
His ego.
Hey, you know what we do on this show?
Gonna keep him energized.
Phantom, we do poetry. And guess what you have in your hand?
I have a book.
Let's get to it.
How did I get
Let's
hands?
Get to it.
No, I wanted
Come on,
to
Phantom.
Say, hey, hey, hey. No, I wanted to say,
what
I.
What about hay?
It's for horses.
Straw's cheaper and grass is free.
Buy a farm and own all three.
Oh, no. Jackasses also eat hay.
So
what?
You eat hay, Michael? Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't see
it's
that
just
coming.
So easy.
Hey, you know, let's focus.
Shh,
what do we
that's
got?
That's the boss on the phone. I'm just kidding.
No, what I was going to say is when you asked me what I'm thankful for earlier, it caught me off guard. You guys know, not a lot of people who are listening know, this week's been kind of a rough one.
Yes.
And I'm flying out to spend Thanksgiving with my aunts and uncles and cousins, which is the first time I've ever been able to do that. I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait. But I'm also going to be spreading my parents' ashes. So I'm
our parents' ashes.
So it's a little bit bittersweet, and so I didn't think I could actually get through saying what I'm thankful for without bawling.
I know. I had
so
a time.
I am really thankful for the show and everybody who has opened their arms to me and to us into their lives every week. And that they share their poetry and themselves with us. I'm thankful for being able to connect with others on this kind of a level, which is not something I normally get to do in my day-to-day basis. So that's one of the main things I'm thankful for. I don't think I can say much more without crying.
Yeah.
But I have a poem tonight, and it is, sorry guys, by Jorge Luis Borges. It's called Everness. One thing does not exist, oblivion. God saves the metal, and he saves the dross. And his prophetic memory guards from loss. The moon's to come, and those of evening's gone. Everything is. The shadows in the glass, which, in between the day's two twilights, you have scattered by the thousands, or shall strew, henceforward, in the mirrors that you pass. And everything is part of that diverse, crystalline memory of the universe. Whoever through its endless mazes wanders, hears door on door click shut behind his stride, and only from the sunset's farther side shall view at last the archetypes and the splendors.
And actually, let me say, Phantom, very good read.
I've got to say, and I've said this several times, but I've got to say it again since we're doing our thankful show. I am so thankful you're doing the show with us. You have blossomed as a radio host, and I knew you had the family genetics in you as far as public speaking and poetry. I've even heard some of your poems that you've written about Cumberbatch, and wow.
Yeah, I don't have any more Sherlock to write until they release the next season.
Maybe you can go to Walking Dead poetry or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That would
Norman
be cool.
Reedus. I'm sorry.
All right.
We actually have a call on the phone.
What?
Yeah, I know. Surprising.
Again?
Tate again.
Tate.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good. Welcome back to our show. It must be two for Tuesday.
Well, I was talking to Steve, and he talked me into calling you again. He said you were running later tonight. I said, okay, whatever. I'll call him again.
Right on.
No problem there. I don't know what I'll read you, but I can surely find one here. Let's see. What kind of poem do you want to hear tonight? All right, how about The Weeping Willow?
All right.
What will they say of me when I'm gone? Will I be thought of as kind and warm? Or in time to come when I'm no more left but the dust born to the storm?
how I sense the depth of love that the earth has for its own, nurturing all of which we are made from the seeds of life it's sown. I've climbed up the towering hill and touched the being of another soul, then turned back into nothingness, became the grass upon the knoll. The sky and clouds tell my purpose to the green wave broiling sea. The ones I loved whom I left behind will long to follow near after me. Will sunrise glow on another's face whose features so look just like me, then lift the spirit I left behind, bearing me back to the willow tree.
Nice. Nice. Brother rocking it again, man. Putting us all to shame.
I can read you one other if you want. How about my truth?
Sure.
All right. This the question of existence, to be a good soul all my days. I find the problem in my years, setting example by my ways. As I have tried to reconcile with the conscience that rules my soul, I always find that I come up short. I never quite reach that fine goal. When I was young, I ruled the waves, holding sway in every court. I did as my heart commanded, as if life were a game of sport. But now that I am not alone, I find myself caring much more how my character is perceived and what I hide behind each door. So now I have committed to repairing mistakes and flaws and fixing all the things that went wrong when I didn't follow the laws. I pray that I be successful in changing my bad ways to good and just to give my child a fighting chance just as every father should. But if only I could travel back to correct the sins of my youth, I could tell him to be like me and know I was telling the truth.
Well done. Right on, brother.
Great show. Love this show.
Thank you.
Hope you guys last forever.
Oh, well, we may not last forever. I hope the show does. I hope some poet, younger poet, comes and picks up the show after we are ready to retire and just keeps it going.
After you cash it in.
After after we cash in a couple of times, really, that would be kind of nice.
Franchise.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, we're not sure exactly when, but it's basically been decided that we're not going to live forever. That the jury is
Speak
not out
yourself,
on that.
It's, my friend.
It's kind of that ship's already sailed. We know it's eventually going to come to an end, but we'll be here for as long as we can.
If we lived forever, life wouldn't be worth much. It's the fact that we're finite that makes it precious.
Exactly, and the fact that humankind, though Chris said earlier in the show that we're simple, we also are very complex and prone to procrastinating. So if we lived forever, we'd just put everything off. And
yeah, we would do like the government does and just put it off to our grandchildren.
Yes, exactly.
we'd spend the money and they'd pay it back.
Isn't that what we're doing now? Anyway, I'm not going to go into that conversation.
that's exactly our financial plan for the moment. We're just mad because we weren't supposed to have to pay until we were dead and gone and our grandkids grew up and suddenly they're telling us we have to pay for something. What? We thought this was free.
Yes. Brother, thank you for calling our show. Don't ever stop calling
us. Thanks, guys.
All right. I'm going to do one last one and we're going to wrap it up, okay? Anybody in the mood for some Shel Silverstein?
Yes.
And I'm not going to do the one you like. I'm going to do the follow-up to that. This is a Shel Silverstein poem. We're kind of late. I'm going to try and do an adjust on the fly. If some language comes out that's offensive, I apologize in advance. This is Grimson Roy. There once was a boy named Grimson Roy. He was nothing like you or me, because laying back and getting high was all that he... Or excuse me, like me or you, because laying back and getting high was all he cared to do. As a kid, he sat in the cellar sniffing airplane glue. Then he smoked bananas, which then was the thing to do. He tried aspirin and Coca-Cola, breathed helium on the sly, and his life was just one endless search to find that perfect high. But the grass made him want to lay back and eat chocolate chip pizza all night, and the great things he wrote while stoned looked like crap in the morning light. And the speed just made him rap all day, and Reds just laid him back, and Cocaine Rose was sweet to his nose, but the price nearly broke his back. He tried PCP and THC, and they didn't quite do the trick, and poppers nearly blew his heart, and mushrooms made him sick. Acid made him see the light, and he couldn't remember it long, and hash was a little too weak, and the smack was a lot too strong. And Quaaludes made him stumble, and booze just made him cry. till he heard of a cat named Boba Fett who knew of a perfect high. Now, Boba Fett was a hermit cat who lived up in Nepal, high on a craggy mountaintop up a sheer and icy wall. But hell, says Roy, I'm a healthy boy. I'll crawl or climb or fly, and I'll find that guru who will give me a clue as to what's the perfect high. So out and off goes Grimson Roy to the land that knows no time, up a trail no man could conquer, to a cliff no man could climb. For 14 years he tries that cliff, and then back down again he slides. Then he sits and cries and climbs again, pursuing that perfect high. He's grinding his teeth, he's coughing blood, he's aching and shaking and weak. As starving and sore and bleeding and tore, he reaches that mountain peak. And his eyes blink red like the snowblind wolf, and he snarls the snarl of the rat. As there, in perfect repose, wearing no clothes, sits the godlike Boba Fett. What's happening, Fats, says Roy with joy. I've come to state my biz. I hear you're hip to the perfect trip. Please tell me what it is. For you can see, says Roy, that I'm about to die. So for my last ride, Fats, how can I achieve that perfect high? Well, dog my cat, says Boba Fett. Here's one more burnout soul who's looking for some alchemist to turn his trip to gold. But you won't find it in no dealer stash or on no druggist shelf. Son, if you seek that perfect high, you find it in yourself. Why, you jive mother trucker, screamed Roy. I've climbed through rain and sleet. I've lost 3 fingers off my hand and 4 toes off my feet. I braved the lair of the polar bear and tasted the maggot's kiss. Now you tell me the high is in myself. What kind of crap is this? My ears, before they froze off, says Roy, had heard all kinds of crap. But I didn't climb for 14 years to listen to this sophomore rap. And I didn't crawl up here to hear that the high is on the natch. So tell me where the real stuff is, or I'll kill your guru ass. Okay, okay, says Boba Fett. You're forcing it out of me. There's a land beyond the sun that's known as Zabali. A wretched land of stone and sand where snakes and buzzards scream. And in the devil's garden blooms the mystic Zuzu tree. And every 10 years it blooms one flower as wide as the Key West sky, and he who eats that Zuzu flower will know the perfect high. For the rush comes on like a tidal wave, and it hits like a blazing sun, and the high it lasts a lifetime, and the down don't ever come. But Zabali is a land ruled by a giant who stands 12 cubits high. With eyes of red and his hundreds heads, he waits for the passers-by. And you must slay the red-eyed giant and swim the river of slime, where mucus beasts, they wait to feast on those who journey by. And if you survive the giant and the beast and swim that slimy sea, there's a blood-drinking witch who sharpens her teeth as she guards that Zuzu tree. To hell with your witches and giants, Lasseroy. To hell with your beasts of the sea. As long as the Zuzu flower blooms, there's still some hope for me. And with tears of joy in his snow-blind eye, Red hands the guru a 5. Then back down the icy mountain he crawls, pursuing that perfect high. Well, that's that, says Boba Fett, sitting back down to his stone, facing another 1,000 years of talking to God alone. It seems, Lord, says Fats, it's always the same. Old men or bright-eyed youth, it's easier to sell them some line of shit than to give the man the truth. And there you have it. Did the phone ring? Are we doing one more?
Yes, on the screen.
Oh, hey. Please welcome the line. Steve?
It is Steve.
There's like 3 different messages here. I was trying to decipher who's who in the zoo. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You're slacking? No theme song?
That's not at my end.
I know.
Well, that's not your a cappella version of the Empire theme song? Oh, and still on key. Actually, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, since I'm going to be doing a cover of a very, very good friend of mine who is an amazing writer and an even better human being. The theme should have been Dirty Water. She's a Boston lady.
Well, I was going to say, you're a New York lawyer and you have friends. How much does that cost you?
That's why I never have any money to do anything.
There you go.
The piece I'm going to read is written by Robin Stratton, who was going to call in this evening and apparently forgot that today was Friday. So I was chatting with her earlier and was trying to guilt her into calling, but I will do one of her pieces, and she promised to call next week. This is, I just wanted to say, I realize I'm not the first middle-aged pseudo-intellectual to notice this, but our early ancestors communicated with a series of community-understood grunts produced by the most primitive of vocal cords. The Egyptians used hieroglyphics to relay information about God and ideas and concepts that, of course, today are quite outdated. Ancient Greeks spoke ancient Greek to verbalize their lofty ideals about morality, what it means to exist, and the lost continent of Atlantis. And the Bible, well, don't get me started on the stories they told back then about how the entire Homo sapien population came from one man and one woman. And even when you read Shakespeare, a guy who actually spoke English, you can't help but think that people who claim to admire his archaic language are lying. Now today, the kids write with that technically incorrect brevity that leads to sentences like, "If going, I will coo there." And this goes from their phone to someone else's. And I'm not judging them, because who is to say that one day this fast-paced communication won't be the new grammar system? It's true that it takes less time to type good than good. And as William Burroughs once noted, artists are the architectures of change, not the political legislators who implement change after the fact. I just want to say that the way kids write today bugs the crap out of me.
Yeah.
And that was by Robin Stratton, who promised that she will be calling in next week.
Robin, well done. Steve, well portrayed. I enjoyed it very much so.
Again, happy Thanksgiving, and I love it when you guys hijack the station.
Excellent. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, if you want, well, no, we're not doing any more calls. We're it. We're done.
No.
The boss called in. He was complaining, so we're going to wrap
it up. We can ask for permission next time.
Yeah. So, you're listening to KZKO The Vibe, a progressive broadcast for your modern life. You've been listening to World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. I want to say thank you to MSC Radio Network. I'm very thankful for the opportunities they've provided us. I want to say thank you to Corey, the producing engineer. I want to say thank you to Rob. I want to say thank you to Rob's wife for letting him chase down his dreams as well.
Yep.
Mama G, thank you very much. And everybody involved, all the other shows that are here on the MSC Radio Network, you guys have, over the last year, gone through and made us feel a part of your family, and for that, I am very thankful.
That's true.
More glass, I am out of coffee, so the poetry must end. Until next Friday night, I'm J. Todd Underhill with Michael Amade, the Phantom, and the Hasquatch. Have a great night.
Out on the scene today, blasted in every way. Some things you just can't hide. Feel the poison of change in me. All that I'll ever be comes back.
today into a black box, and it came out great.